Hello and welcome to the Summit Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
We just want you to stay in this atmosphere. We're not bringing the lights up. We're just going to keep the atmosphere here because I want the service to be a time where if the Lord speaks to you in a moment, that you respond, that the altars are open. Ghost, we yield right now. Pastor Chris is not here this morning. He's been sick for the last several days. Woke up really sick this morning, so at 7:45 we got a text that we were taking over the service. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, for you just being here and you leading the service. We just give it to you right now. Father, this is revival. Father, we don't have to preach revival. Father, we can demonstrate revival. In worship, the Lord quickened me. I had a dream last night. Wasn't really sure what it was for. I didn't feel like it pertained to me personally, but during worship, the Lord brought the dream to memory. And I want to say first, you're going to have to be bold to step out on this. And you're going to have to become undignified, but you're going to have to know that the Father's going to meet you when you respond to this. In the dream, the person was very intoxicated. Not a good, like, intoxication of the Lord, but intoxicated by alcohol. And they were saying multiple things that they would normally not say without having alcohol. And the one particular thing that they said, the person near them heard what they said, and the guy committed suicide right in front of them because it was like their tongue, there was something in their tongue from the alcohol that was almost like releasing murder as it spoke. But I felt like the Lord, what he was showing me was that there's some in here that are bound by an alcohol addiction, that it's a generational stronghold. And that the Father is wanting, he's desiring to deliver and heal you completely this morning. I literally got sick at the front row. I felt like a sickening intoxication, like my mind became blurred. And it was just the Father showing his goodness. He wants to release you completely from that stronghold. And the Lord showed me that it's bound in the tongue. And that when you respond, there's anointing that's going to be released from the tongue. You're going to be delivered immediately. So if that's you in here, I need you to be really, really bold. And I need you to respond believing that the Father is going to meet you and he's going to deliver you completely. We make room for you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, give them boldness and courage to respond. No humiliation, Father. It's not to humiliate them, but it's out of your goodness, Father. This is a moment. The anointing is here in this moment. Don't wait. Absolutely. Just come forward. She's going to stand in for her two sons, and we're just going to believe, even through the live stream, I believe there's a deliverance anointing for that right now, for alcoholism to be broken off immediately. You just begin to pray, saints. Don't look, just pray. Father, we take authority right now over this generational stronghold, Father. Back to 10 generations, Father, we just command it. Right now, we loose it from the tongue. Right now, we command even the appetite, the taste for it, Father, to be released. Right now, in this moment, right where they are, Father, touch them. Touch them, Father. The testimony. Be loose from the tongue right now. We take authority over alcoholism, even in this room, even if you're not bold enough to respond. I declare that in your seat right now, that it's going to be loosed right now in a moment. We loose alcoholism right now. We command it. We take authority right now to become unbound from the tongue. Yeah, we just stand in agreement with you right now. And we believe right now that that bondage is broken off of them right now. Shurabaye, surabababaye. Jesus. In this atmosphere, we just have to be really careful to yield. It can get awkward. It can make you feel uncomfortable, but you've got to just yield in these moments. If you begin to get touched in your seat, if the Holy Spirit, if that angel like Bryce was talking about, if Jesus begins to walk to your seat and begins to touch you, you yield. If you feel something rise up in your belly, you yield. Jesus, we want to be so careful in here, Father. You're here, you're moving.
Oftentimes people ask, what is revival? This is revival. Sons and daughters being totally wrecked by the Lord. Your son or daughter prophesying over a generation that would come into know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is revival? It's when the fire of God comes and revives the people. It says that all creation is moaning and groaning for the manifestation of sons and daughters to be made manifest in this earth. That's revival. We don't need another revelation of revival. We need a demonstration of revival. We need to demonstrate the Holy Spirit. When He's upon us, we need to demonstrate in power. The reason why so many people are looking to all these new age things is because the church ain't operating in power. And the Holy Spirit didn't just come upon you to give you a goosebump or your hair to be raised up on the back of your neck, but He came to give you boldness and to give you power, dunamis power, to release upon this earth. God, we want everything that You have to give us. We don't want to try to hold it back. God, don't let us hold it back. We want to release the fire upon this earth. Canada, they say, is a dry place that is turning from God. You know what happens when fire comes to a dry place? And we say, do it, Lord. Let Your fire fall on Canada, Yahweh. Let Your fire fall in Edmonton, Yahweh. Let it sweep across the land. Shh. What happens when a pile of youth begin to get set on fire for King Jesus and they begin to go back into their school systems and begin to... You can try to take God out, but when youth begin to get set on fire and step back into the school system, everywhere they step, they're going to be contagious because of what is upon them. That's going to bring revival. That's revival when the kids begin to get wrecked in the presence of Yahweh and they can't contain what He's done in their life and they begin to share about what King Jesus has delivered them from. They're looking for the real deal. Parents, they're looking for the real deal. They're not looking for you to be one way at church and another way at the house. They want to see their mom and dad facing the floor calling out for Yahweh to deliver them, to bring restoration to them, to give them wisdom, dreams, revelation. Father, we just ask for your fire. We don't know what we're doing. We're going to tarry in the upper room until the Holy Spirit comes. We don't even know what he looks like. We're going to stand and wait because you promised. You promised, Yahweh. The promise came as a mighty rushing wind with tongues of fire resting upon each and every one of them's head. They come out like they're drunk, speaking to a crowd that they were scared of, and the whole crowd begins, 3,000 get swept into the kingdom. That's revival. When the very ones that you were scared to be in front of, now you have the boldness to stand boldly before them and proclaim King Jesus. That's revival. Holy Spirit, we want you to have your way in here. We want you to break out. We want you to break out of our box, our religious mindset that we get so trapped in, of doing the same thing over and over and over, and it not producing anything. And when one encounter with you can change everything about us. One encounter with you, King Jesus, can transform a man that was murdering Christians to a man that was so sold out for Christians that he gave his whole life into ministering the gospel. One encounter. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to flow with the Holy Ghost. There's parents in here that God is waiting. He's waiting on you to turn your face to him. You're wondering why your kids are running and doing all this stuff. When they begin to see it in you, you'll see it in them. You cannot say anything to your kids about what they need to be doing when you're definitely not doing it. I'm telling you, you cannot preach to your kids about reading the Bible when you're sitting in front of TV nonstop, when you're sitting on Facebook nonstop. When you begin to get hungry for the things of God, your kids will begin to get hungry for the things of God. We need a revival in family. And when we have a revival in family, you're going to see it sweep across the nation. Because the enemy has so come to attack the man in the house. And I God bless the women that have stood in a man's place, but they are never supposed to stand in that place. God has graced the man to be the prayer warrior in the house. He has graced him. I'm telling you, men, you better stand up. You better stand up, or you're losing right now. Man of God, stand up. I'm here to challenge you this morning. Your wife ain't supposed to carry that load. You are supposed to be a spiritual leader in your house that is demonstrating the Father's love in your house before your kids. Supposed to be demonstrating the love of Christ to your wife. We wonder why we have so many men struggling with an identity crisis. It's because they don't have a man to show them who they are. The father speaks identity into his sons and daughters. If we want a revival, we've got to ask Yahweh for a revival in our hearts. We wonder why our daughters are running off to these men that have no business dating our daughters or marrying our daughters. It's because we haven't accurately demonstrated or showed them what a true man is and who they're supposed to be looking for. They're actually supposed to be looking for somebody like you that's demonstrating Christ's love just like that. Come on, church. Let's just pray. God, we say, do it. Do it in us so you can do it in them, Yahweh.
Of the women in here. Jesus. I believe there's grace for the men in here who feel the unction, who know that maybe they haven't stood in that position. But as women of the house, I'm so thankful for strong men like Pastor Chris, strong men like Pastor Cy, Pastor TJ. But it's time, men. Take your rightful place. Take your rightful place. There's women in here that have carried a false burden. They've carried the load of the home. And they're weighed down and they're weary. And husbands, it's time. I feel a special grace for men. A special grace for men in here. That you're feeling the stirring of the Holy Ghost. We awaken the authority in them. We take that false burden off the load of the women right now. Yeah, I just feel that lifting right now. I just see men in the spirit right now taking their rightful place. This is when revival is going to happen in homes and families, when there's right order. Father, we speak right order in the family right now. Jesus, every family that's out of balance, we call it into order right now. We say revival in family right now. Men, take your rightful place right now. You respond. If God's speaking to you right now, you respond. A place of response appropriately would be at the altar right now, asking God to grace you. To grace you to carry the load of your family. Oh, Jesus. We call you men into your rightful place. We call you to take your place. I just see revival sparking in families all in this place. Oh, audience. There's a grace. There's a moment in this room right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rabaye, sonda da 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 baye. Help me, saints. Oh, Rabaye. Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the response.
The very thing that we teach our sons and daughters to take pride in this and take pride in that, is the very thing that keeps you sitting in that seat, is that pride. Father, we remove pride right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that men would begin to have a radical encounter with you again, Father. That they would not see the prayer closet as a weak place. That they wouldn't see tears as a weak place. But they would begin to weep for their sons and daughters. They would begin to weep for their wife, for their co-workers. It says that King Jesus is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father day and night. I think to see revival in Canada, we're going to have to see a revival of the hearts of men that are taking their rightful place as the man of God in their house. When you take that rightful place, natural order takes place and begins to flow from the head down to the beard all the way to the garment. You want the rest of your family flowing, but you're not in your place. Man of God, it's time to take your place. Online, man of God, it is time to take your place. Right in your living room, I speak the Spirit of the living God to rest upon you right there in your living room. I ask Yahweh to meet you.
I just want to share at our school yesterday, interestingly, we had women, that began to come forward after the school and just share about the rate of single women older in this region, and how it's almost become an epidemic of single women that are crying out for men. Men of revival, godly men. And that there's so many single women in their latter years that have failed to be able to find a husband in this area. And it really, really struck me as we were riding home last night. And I just feel like there is such a grace right now that women that have been crying out in the prayer closet, that have yet to be married, that their future husbands are out there. I believe that it's our job to call them into their place, to call them home, and that these women desiring companions, that the Father is bringing them godly men. He's raising them up. Jesus, we just call them forth right now. Surabaye, kurababaye.
I was, I could just feel that Abba Father in the room. I want to raise up fathers in Canada. I want to raise up fathers in Canada. And I feel like there's we got the woman empowerment move. I feel like there's a father empowerment Holy Ghost move that God wants to do in Canada. So exciting. I don't know if I've got the details 100% straight, but in Australia, in I think it was Oxford University, they did a study on crime in the country of Australia. And they wanted to see what was the root cause of crime. And they found that education, you know, if people drop out of school, that this produced a lot of crime in their country. But it was about 60%. People who were high school dropouts, they would get into a life of crime because of lack of education. Another percentage, they found people who got addicted to substances, to feed that addiction, to feed their brokenness, that they would be led into a life of crime. That was like around a 70% rate. But they found the number one cause that they felt led to a life of crime was at an 80% rate was fatherlessness. And that affected all the lack of education, the drug, everything else. That, as far as they could see, that was the number one cause of crime in their country. And when there's a revival of family, and when fathers are raising other fathers, literally we're going to see something happen to the crime rates, the suicide rate, the divorce rate. All the rates are going to be rated. They're going to be rated to heaven. Amen. So God, right now, we just thank you for changing the statistics in Canada right now in Jesus' name. That right now in this room, Father God, you're raising up sons and you're raising up fathers. There is a family revival. And we thank you, Father God, for fathers raising powerful sons and powerful daughters in Jesus' name that are going to change Canada and see our nations change and see the education system change. And no system will be able to break the family system. We know there's an attack on family. There's an attack on children. There's an attack on marriage. But right now, we just plead the blood of Jesus right now on marriages, on families, on homes. And God, we say, raise up the fathers in this generation. We pray, Lord, that you would empower at 15 young men to learn to be fathers at a young age. God, teach us to teach them. God, we pray, Lord, that you would give us the strategy to raise up generation, this next generation of millennials who are fathered well in Jesus' name.
Need to just share a little bit of our personal testimony. You know, we're speaking on revival, but I really wanted to, Darren, can you guys move these, or somebody, ushers, move these out of the way? I don't think we'll be sitting down. We want to make more room in the altar. Yeah, you can take it all out. But I just, our life of revival began, revival always begins personally. And then it manifests corporately or citywide or regional-wide. But we were really blessed at a young age, or what the world would call blessed. You know, material things. We had everything that you could want at 23 years old. We had built our second home by then. We had boats, cars, anything that you could want material-wise. But I was working a lot then. We owned a real estate brokerage and an appraisal firm at that time. And I was also launching our apparel, our clothing brand business at the same time. So I was running three jobs. Cy was working for the federal prison system, or the state prison system then, federal. And I was just completely unhappy. We had everything, but I knew there was something missing inside of me, and I couldn't define what that was. And one day, I was at the front of the house, I was at the back of the house, or vice versa. And the weighty presence of Yahweh began to rest on our home, and I just began moaning, crying in travail, and same thing. So I was at the other end of the house moaning and crying in travail. And we had a real long hallway in our house then, and we met in the middle of the hallway, and we were both weeping, but we didn't even know what it was. We didn't know what we were weeping about. We lived a very worldly lifestyle, but we were very obedient to be in church on Sundays. We didn't miss a Sunday. That's just how Saul was raised, like with his grandma. Like, you can go out drinking and partying all night, but when 9 o'clock rolls around, you better have your feet in the church. And so that's what we did. And we even taught Sunday school, living this worldly lifestyle. And when the Father met us in our home, it was like something began to stir in us. That lasted through the evening. We were weeping. The following morning, we were at church, in the Baptist church. That's where Si was raised. I was raised Presbyterian. Si was raised Baptist. So when we married, we attended the Baptist church. But that particular Sunday, Yahweh's just good. He just knows. One of our friends that we grew up with, that we went to high school with, he was a fiery preacher. He was from the Church of God. Well, they had asked him to fill in that Sunday. And he got up and began to just preach just a convicting fire message that he read our mail, literally. It was such a divine setup from God. He began saying, there are some of you in here that you're living a double life. He said, you're one way out of the church, and then you're one way in the church. And he said, the Father is calling you to separate yourself and to consecrate yourself to the Lord. And I remember just sitting on the edge of my seat. Like, I don't think I'd ever been in travail or anything like that. But I remember just rocking back and forth, gripping my chair, like knowing the moment the altar call came, I was there. I was so convicted. Si was the same way. And when they gave the altar call, we dove to the front. I mean, we didn't walk up casually. We dove to the front, and this young man's dad began to prophesy over us that, especially over Si, that the Lord was really wanting to use him, but that he could not use him the way that he was living his life. And from that moment on, for 2 weeks, it was almost like we were mute. Like the Lord shut our mouth. All we could do was weep, which I believe it was godly sorrow is what it was. I believe we recognize the state of our lives and the sin in our life, and we recognize how it related to what Jesus did on the cross. And there was godly sorrow, and literally we would try to speak to each other, and it's like we could not talk. All we could do was weep for 2 weeks. I remember driving to go do appraisals, and I would have to pull over on the side of the road, because the Holy Spirit was transforming me. I had a filthy mouth. I worked with lots of mortgage brokers, lots of real estate brokers, and we talked really ugly. And so after that, our encounter was very quick. Our deliverance was very quick. So it was like one night in our home, we were that one way. And then after that Sunday, it was like we were completely transformed. I think it's very different for many people. Some people have a long deliverance type thing, but ours was very quick. And so these people would call me. The mortgage brokers would call me, and they would joke around. And I used to complain. Oh, God, I used to complain about it was during the up and down of the real estate market in the States when this was going on. And they would start cussing and talking, and I would not cuss and respond, and I would respond completely different. And they were like, Holly, are you there? And I was just so convicted, I couldn't talk like that anymore. And people began to say to us, like, we don't recognize who you are, we don't know you. My parents would offer us drinks, and we would tell them, we don't do that anymore, we can't have a drink. And they literally just did not know who we were. I remember his grandma saying, and his grandmother raised him, so she knew him very well. She would say, like, who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore. But that was the Lord transformed. That was when revival began in us, and we began just being called to this intimate, devotional place in our home. We began to consecrate our mornings in prayer, consecrate our lifestyles in prayer. Everything that we began to do, we wanted to glorify God. And so shortly after that, a ministry was birthed out of that. We didn't have anything that was really revival based, and we're from a really small town. There's only like a population of 4,000, one red light. And so this ministry was birthed. It was called 180, Mission 180. And so we were outreach type ministry, but there were about 8 of us, the core group, that began to gather together, and every night we started meeting at this ratty old concrete block building. I mean, it was nothing to look at, but we started meeting and praying. We would bring our kids up. They would just run around all over the room, and we would pace the room. I remember doing marches. One particular night standing out in my mind right now, and I remember it was like 12 o'clock, and nobody felt led to go home. Most of them did, but there were 3 of us that ended up staying. And I remember marching that room, and I put my hands out, and I, whew, Jesus, I feel anointed. I remember saying, I'm putting my hands to the plow, and I'm never turning back. And I remember saying, I commit my hands to the plow. And since then, we've committed to the plow, no matter what it looked like. Then the Lord led us to Crestview during a 10-month revival that was going on, Gulfstream Revival at the Summit Church in Crestview. And God was moving mightily. And one particular Sunday morning service, a prophet in the house came up to me and he said, Holly, the Lord is going to reveal himself to you in a way that you've never seen him before. And he said, it's going to be really quick, so just be looking for it. And that evening, let me say this too. When revival is happening within you, there's such a hunger within you that you'll do anything. You will literally do anything. We drove for 2 years, 2 hours each way during that revival. And services were Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. 2 hours each way we drove for 2 years with a 1-year-old baby. And I don't think we missed a single service. But hunger will cause you to do that. You'll go wherever. You'll do whatever. You'll do things that you would not do when hunger is there. I promise you. I look back on that and I think, how in the world did we do that? How did we do that? But there's grace. When there's hunger, there's grace. So that particular Sunday night, we've already been in 7 services that week. And that Sunday night, we came home and we were sitting in our living room. And since I think we've kind of leaned into this second service on family revival within the homes. That's what I feel like this morning God is speaking to us about, is that family revival. It's one of our pillars here. Family, devotion, revival, and hope. Family and revival are 2 of those. And they go hand in hand. It's not even legal for half your family to be in revival and the other half of your household to not be in revival. That's not God's intention. It's not God's intention for your kids to want to stay home on Sunday. Hear me. Hear me with love. That's not God's intention. It's revival together. And I really wanted Bryce to share his encounter that happened that night on Sunday night, because I think it's more powerful coming from him. I think I want to demonstrate family revival. I want you to see and hear and sound what it looks like. See what it looks like. And you grab a hold of it. That you leave with the expectation that this is coming to your house. It's not just going to happen in this house. It's coming to your physical home. Bryce, you come and share what happened that night.
Okay, so we were getting home from church one night, and my mom and dad were in the living room, and they were just kind of playing around at first, and they're like, hey Bryce, why don't you come preach? And I was like, oh, okay. And I just grabbed a Bible and I flipped to Amos, and I just started reading out of it, and I started like having this fire feeling in my stomach. So I was like, oh mom, there's fire in my stomach, what do I do? And she was like, she just said, let it out. Just let it out. And I was like, oh. And so I started just talking. And the first thing I said was, I want to be a builder at this time when I was growing up. And I said, Mom, I've always wanted to be a builder, but the Lord told me I'm going to be a different type of builder. And so, I don't know what scripture it was. What she said, it talks about rebuilding the cities and, like cities that were just torn apart, and that I'm going to go and rebuild them. But, after that, I just started prophesying and just, I don't know if I was speaking in tongues at that point, but I just started praying, and I was saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And as I was saying that, I like just fell on the floor, and that fire came back to me. But then the next morning after that, it was about 5 o'clock, and I was up, and it was a school morning, and I was like ready to go. I had already got ready. But I was just laying in the floor, and I was interceding, and my parents walked in to me just laying on the floor, like just prophesying over the kids at my school, saying that they were going to like come into the kingdom of God. And that's really all it was.
Why don't you prophesy that over families?
So right now I'm going to prophesy this over families. I say that your families would start to have the kingdom flow into them. I say that tongues of fire would fill all of your families, God. I say that as your kids would go to school, that they would walk in and their shadow would touch the kids, and it would just heal them. They'd want to know what's going on. I say that in each family, the kingdom would flow, and we say fresh oil would come in. We say ignite the flame, God. We say one spark is all it takes, God. Fresh and filling, God. Fresh and filling. I don't know what this is, but it keeps popping into my mind, and it's I don't know if anyone plays this anymore, but there's this thing in this game, and it just if you light it on fire, you can't put it out. And if you light it on fire and you put this ignition on it, then it'll just keep going and going and going. There's no way that you can put it out. And I just say that all the families would be like that. You can't put it out. No insults can put it out, God. We say that no one's going to stop your tongues of fire, God. We say that no one's going to put out your flame. Lord, I just keep seeing a fresh outpouring, God. I just keep seeing a fresh outpouring, and it's this bucket of oil just pouring out onto this fire. And it's what used to be a small spark. It's now igniting into a bonfire that you can't stop. Lord, we say that Canada is a bonfire. It's going to burn for you, God. And we say nothing's going to put it out, God. Lord, we call out the sparks, God. We call out the sparks.
Yeah, let's just continue with that. Let's just move with the Spirit. We just call out the sparks, Father. Light the sparks in the households, God. Spark revival in the homes, Father. Right now, we say pour out the oil. Cultivate the oil, Father. Begin to cultivate oil in your homes. If you want to see revival in a city, you first have to see it in your home. So we prophesy in the homes this morning, Father. I just hear like the commercial where it says it's coming to a home.